Not long ago, app was a new word, new tools for us all. Today, many of us would find it hard to get through the day without our favorite mobile software applications. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, we check in once again with app developers across the state to find out what's new. For instance, an award-winning app for farmers called AgNote Max, created by Iowa high school students. Or a new app meant to connect city officials and workers with residents. We'll also hear about the Iowa-Vietnam app connection. All about apps after this news. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today we spend the hour talking about mobile software applications. Of course, we call them apps for use on iPhones, iPods, iPads, all kinds of Android devices. In a few minutes, we'll find out about all kinds of new apps, and some of them homegrown right here in Iowa. For instance, an award-winning app for farmers. It's called AgNote Max, created by Iowa high school students who all live on farms. We'll hear about that a little bit later. Or a new app meant to connect city officials and workers with residents, or apps you might appreciate in the car on those long road trips. That's all coming up this hour. But first, we want to check in with Jim Kramer. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Iowa. He was on the last time we did sort of this app update. He joins us by phone today. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Ben. Nice to be here.
Great to have you again to give us an update on your app coursework. You've been teaching courses in apps since 2010. And now you're not only working with students here in Iowa at the University of Iowa, but also with Vietnamese students in Vietnam. A little background, then I'd like to have you tell us specifically about this course. I understand that 10 years ago, a bipartisan U.S. government group involving, among others, then Senator John Kerry, also Senator John McCain, helped create and fund the Vietnam Education Foundation. And it's a foundation meant to strengthen U.S.-Vietnamese ties through educational cooperation. And the largest component of this program brings top Vietnamese students to the U.S. to get PhDs with the intent that they return home to help lead the growing universities and the industry in that country. Tell us how your course this semester sprang from this background.
Yeah, I think it's a great program. It's something great that the U.S. government has done. It's brought a lot of really great students here from Vietnam to the U.S. Since 2005, I had the opportunity to go to Vietnam to interview the finalists for these fellowships, not just to come to University of Iowa, to go to many universities in the U.S. But a second part of this interesting program is that they have grants to send U.S. faculty to teach in Vietnam to, you know, promote additional exchange. And this semester, I had the opportunity to create a new course in which we combine app development with group project work between Vietnamese and U.S. students. So much of the software industry and even other industries these days involves international teams collaborating, and it seemed like a great thing to get students early experience in collaborating internationally on projects.
Mm-hmm. So help me picture this. I understand in the course you actually linked sometimes by Skype in real time, and Hanoi is exactly, what, 12 hours in front of us or behind us?
Ahead of us.
Ahead of us.
We had to switch the class ending times in the middle of the semester due to daylight savings time change. So the beginning was 11, now it's 12. Uh-huh. All kinds of little logistical issues, but yes, we have joint meetings using either Adobe Connect through the university's license of that, or sometimes Skype, depending on the network capabilities. But, it just seems better. You know, there are lots of interesting online education things these days, and many interesting things are going to emerge from that. But so far, I think my favorite is to do things live. And we have live interactions, progress reports by the teams over live video, live audio, live screen sharing.
Let me get this straight. You could have in one project group, you could have a couple of Iowans and a few Vietnamese all working together.
Absolutely. And they do a lot of work offline, maybe not at the same time, through email, sometimes through Skype. They say their favorite actually is GChat. you know, Google's GChat. So it's up to them to find the tools to communicate. And, you know, there are language and cultural challenges, but they're brought together by their interest in creating cool mobile apps.
Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of time, but,
right.
but tell us about some of the teams and the projects that they're working on. What sort of things, tasks are they tackling here?
Well, it's up to them to come up with something that lets them learn. You know, I don't really care. I don't push them on the topic. So, you know, one of the ones that seems to have gained the most traction is a joint team with an American student who originally was from St. Lucia in the Caribbean, an Indian graduate student here, and two Vietnamese students who all share a love of cooking. And from the student point of view, they say, we don't have many things in our refrigerator. We want an app that helps us find the best recipes that we can make with what we have.
That's interesting. Now, will these apps, they're still in the making, be available on the market soon?
Well, you know, that's up to them. With the license we have, it's a university license, they can develop apps that could be put in the store as university-branded licenses, but we'd have to check with the upper levels of the university before those got put out. But they can also take this code and create apps, as many previous students of the class have done, in the store afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think a couple of them will end up. There are some UI route finding and bus helper apps that I think will probably end up in the store, yeah.
And before we have to go, I know you personally are working on several health-related apps. Tell us about one or two of those quickly.
Yeah, the latest one, I think, this is in conjunction with the University Hospitals, Dr. Phil Polgreen and Computer Science Professor Segre's Computational Epidemiology Group. We recently have an app that lets people cough into their phone and to help get an analysis of whether or not they're likely to have pertussis or whooping cough.
So I would open my app, I hold my Android device or my iPhone in front of my face, and I cough on its screen.
Yeah, or your child's face. You know,
okay. We
want to check on. Yeah, and then that sends the data quickly to our server, where we've trained a machine learning algorithm based on lots of known pertussis and non-pertussis coughs, and to classify this cough as to whether or not it's likely to be pertussis related.
That is amazing. Thank you so much.
Sure.
And we'll check back in a few months' time to see how both these things are progressing, all these things. Jim Kramer, professor of computer science at the University of Iowa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ben.
This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. My next guests are two high school students from Spalding High School in Granville, Iowa. Granville is in the northwest part of the state, in fact, north of Sioux City. Joining me now, Kelly Full and Becky Streff. They are two of five students. The other students, Brady Hansen and Sarah Kuntz and Kara Jungers, who developed an award-winning app called AgNote Max. It's a smartphone app for farmers, recognized as one of the best in the nation at the Verizon Innovative App Challenge. And they did this under the supervision of one faculty advisor, Mary Hunt, at the school. It was one of 10 winning designs out of nearly 500 that were entered. And Spalding High School in Granville receives a $10,000 grant from Verizon for this honor to advance education in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Kelly and Becky, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, tell us, to start with, what does the app do?
This app is kind of an all-in-one farming app. So it includes a lot of aspects that are used on the farm, which is very prevalent in our area.
Like what? Give us some examples of what it can do.
There's, like, calculators to figure out your, like, bushels per acre. There's records, so you can keep all your records electronically instead of having all the paper. Weather, maps of your fields.
Also, with, like, the maps, we wanted to include soil samples. So, like, when you, in the spring of the year, when your co-op will come out and you figure out your pH levels of your field and your chemical levels and stuff like that, so you got to figure out what kind of fertilizer you want to put on. That would also be included, so you can look at that on your phone, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can use a bad pun, where did you get the seed of an idea for this?
In tech club class, which is basically like a study hall, and my teacher brought in this flyer for this app challenge, and I was a little blown away by it at first, but once she got me started going on it and looking into what we all were going to need and putting a team together, one of the requirements for this app was solving a problem in your community. And I thought, well, farming's big in our community, and a problem I sort of see on my farm with my dad is a lack of technology. Because mm-hmm. I'm a lot more ahead than he is, and he's 50-plus years old, so I figured it'd be good to try and update him a little bit and work on that kind of thing.
Now, does your dad use apps otherwise?
No. He has a flip phone.
What's that?
Just an old cell phone.
Okay, the one that the clamshell ones.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'd never heard him called that before. So you tried this out on your dad. Now, is your dad using it?
Well, we're still in the production stage of it. We're still creating it right now. We're working with some professors that have been provided by the Verizon to help us develop it, and we're collaborating with them and some professors from MIT, and we're working on it right now with a program provided by Verizon.
Okay, so I imagine you've probably interviewed your dad, or you said, Dad, these are the problems we want to solve, the things we want to make easier, and he's given you input. How have you done that?
Well, all the parents, all of us in the group have parents in the farming and agriculture field. So we all have talked to our parents about different things that they think should be included, things that they would think would be helpful or make their job a little more efficient. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got some of our ideas to put into the app.
So did you come up with a long list of functions that you wanted, and then did you had to make a shorter list? Was that part of the process to kick out all but the functions that were really essential for this app?
Well, what we started with was in my math class. Anyway, we started writing down things we thought would be important, and then she told us to go home and ask our parents. And one kid came back with a whole list of things that his dad had thought of, and his brother, who is also an agronomist, thought would be good ideas. And then we talked to a few more guys at the co-op that they thought would be good ideas, and we ended up collapsing it down and consolidating our ideas into the calculator function of the app would have multiple different things that you could use. So, like, mm-hmm. if they said they want something to calculate how much fertilizer you're going to need, or if you want to do your bushel spraker, that would all be on the same page. So a lot of it got condensed down into different pages.
You said you're still in the process of working with Verizon to get a finished product here. Any idea when this will be available, AgNote Max, a smartphone app?
We're supposed to have it prepared by June 7th for the Technology Student Association, which is another partner with Verizon that is helping fund this. And then we'll present it at the TSA National Conference. But once we get it presented there, then we'll finish making it, and then that's when we can decide whether we want to market it or not. So June 7th or later.
Kelly, you said you were, I think you used the words, blown away at first when you were given this task. Now that you're into it, does it prompt you, or perhaps you, Becky, to think about building apps in the future? Has it got you thinking about, well, gosh, I can build apps for all kinds of things?
Yeah, it's definitely something I never thought I would ever be able to do before, just because it seemed like such a complicated process. And it, in a way, it is. It's very extensive and a lot of things that I've never done before. But just looking at the program and just planning it out, it definitely seems like it's something I think I'll enjoy. I don't know, we haven't really gotten into much of that yet, but it's definitely something I never thought I would ever do.
Your school, Spalding High School in Granville, Iowa, will receive a $10,000 grant from Verizon. Do you have any idea what your school will be doing with that $10,000?
Well, I actually got a field of check the other day. It finally came through, and I got she let me touch it. So.
You did? What did it feel like to touch a $10,000 check?
Well, considering I wasn't going to get to keep any of it.
Okay.
Not as good as I thought it would.
Any idea what it will be used for?
So far, I think they have, like, tech conferences for teachers planned right now, so to help educate the teachers on tech issues and help get the students updated. And it's not supposed to be used for upgrading our software in our school as much. It's more teaching technology to the teachers to be able to pass it on to the students. But I think they're allowing for us to use buy some software with it, and we did actually get to use $100 of it to buy accessories for our tablets that we also won.
Mm. Oh, you each won a tablet?
Yeah.
Are you also all smartphone users and owners?
I think everybody has one in our everybody in our group has one.
Okay. So tell me, Becky, you start. What's your favorite app out there otherwise? It doesn't have to be ag-related either.
Oh, man. There's a game. We're kind of all addicted, Candy Crush. I don't know. It's a very addicting game that we're all kind of playing right now.
Okay. Kelly, do you have a favorite app out there you'd like to mention?
Well, this is kind of embarrassing to say over the air, but Smurfs Village is kind of my favorite right now.
Smurfs Village. What do you do with that? I don't know that one.
Well, it's like, the Smurfs, you have to build a village with, like, houses, and then you keep adding, and then it's like a farming game, sort of.
Nice, nice. Well, Kelly Full and Becky Streff of Spalding High School in Granville, Iowa, congratulations once again on developing AgNote Max. Recognize it's one of the best in the nation at the Verizon Innovative App Challenge. We appreciate this conversation and making us here in Iowa so proud.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's our homegrown app update edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. What's your favorite new app, one that you've discovered? That what makes it so appealing? Perhaps you can name it as a Facebook post or tweet us with the name of that app and what makes it so appealing. And maybe in one line, tweet us at IPR Talk or go to our Facebook page. Put a post there. My next guest is Stan Laverman. He's a senior housing inspector for the city of Iowa City. He manages the new app just out this month, launched. It's called iCGov Express, meant to connect city officials and workers with residents. Stan Laverman, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Give us an overview of what this app does.
iCGov Express is just another convenient way for the citizens of Iowa City or visitors to Iowa City to connect with City Hall.
Mm. Okay, well, here's a video, actually, on your city website that explains a little bit more about it. Actually, a very well-done video posted through YouTube that explains it. It features a young man, you got to picture this, a young man in a trashed-out yard, a yard he wants to make the city aware of.
Your neighbors wreak a little havoc last weekend. You better do something quick before it gets messy. A trip to City Hall? I don't think so. Phone call? What is this? 1985? It's time to iCGov Express your way out of this mess. Use your smartphone and submit the details to city staff so they can come check it out and get it resolved. Snap a picture. Choose from a list of common issues. Type your comments. Add your contact info if you want to track the progress. And then tap submit. I think you just saved the neighborhood.
That's a wonderful little video. You need to go online and see it at icgov.org. And that's also where you can download this new app, of course, for people who live in Iowa City. It's meant for them. So you can have an issue with a city you want to make them aware of, all kinds of issues, right? And it will be then funneled to the right person?
That's correct. And that's the beauty of it. Prior to this, there was always a human touch and had to be directed by staff. It's eliminated one of those steps, and it allows to be directed to the correct department depending on the issue. If it's related to trash at a residence or a sidewalk or a street light, all of those issues can be directed to the correct city department to get a quick resolution to it.
Okay, I've got a hypothetical here for you, Stan, and let's do this because I downloaded the app this morning. I've got my Android device here. I'm opening the app here. I've got a new issue. Okay, so here's the thing. Let me set it up for you. Let's say I have a complaint I want the city to be aware of, and let me set the scene. It's a Sunday afternoon. Oh, it's going to be warm in the days to come. So let's say I'm out on my hammock luxuriating in the sun and falling asleep when... Oh, no. It's the beagle from next door again.
It is.
It is, and I've talked to them so many times, Stan. Now, what do I do with this new app?
One of the things is there's certain issues that you're still going to have to call the police to get the police involved in, or animal control. It's not an instantaneous response, but if you make a complaint to animal control, one thing that's nice about the app is there is some accountability to it, that those you know that the complaints aren't just going out into the void,
mm-hmm.
That there will be a response, and there will be someone that follows up with you that says, we understand that you're having a problem. This is the steps that we took to resolve that.
Okay, so the barking dog would have been something to use here, or would I had to go to a different source, not using this app, or could I have?
You could have used that app, but it's not like someone's going to appear in the next half hour to take care of that on a weekend.
I see.
If you did that during normal 8 to 5 hours, it would get directed to animal control, and they would more than likely be out that day to take a look at it.
Okay.
Obviously, on the weekend, it's going to be a little tougher to get responses to that.
I see the buttons on this app, new issue, track issues. There's a rental housing database there. What's that?
Sure. So if you're out and about and you come across a property that looks run down or you're unsure of and you're wondering if it's a rental, you can go to that database. It'll pull up the rental permit for that property. It'll actually even give you the name of the owner, and a lot of times it'll give you contact information. So if there's something happening in your neighborhood or on your walk, you could actually make contact with the owner of that property right there.
Oh, I see. That's where it has a leg up over a website, is that you're mobile with us, and you can look around for a rental property you might want to rent.
Sure. Even if you're out looking to rent a rental property, that would be a positive tool for landlords there, that it kind of gets that information out for mm-hmm. prospective renters.
This iCGov Express app has only been out for, 10 days or so. Is it getting use?
It's getting a lot of use, yeah. And the thing of it is, it's being used for ways that we didn't really anticipate. It's also integrated with our web version. So when we had the flood event, we got a lot of calls, and not calls, but responses of what's the city doing with flood damage materials, or is there a place that I can report damage to my house? And it's just a good way to get that information back to people mm-hmm. quicker and document that it was given.
Are you getting more feedback, more complaints, or whatever they are, questions, because you have this app, you think? Does it increase your workload?
I think on the onset, it will increase our workload. The nice thing about it is when those complaints come in, or those issues are raised and a picture is taken with a smartphone, that it is geocoded, and from that address and from that a good picture, that we can send out a notice to the owner of the property from that picture that says, hey, heads up, there's an issue at your property. So that's going to save us one visit. We're still going to have to go back and verify that it was taken care of. But honestly, with citizens doing the good legwork, it's going to save us time in the long run.
And quickly, before we have to go, is Iowa City alone with having this unique app?
No, Iowa City is not alone. The company that we used is from California, called Government Outreach, and they did the basic framework for the app, and then all the site-specific and city-specific items we put in. It's used in California to handle freedom of information requests, and all sorts of comments and questions.
But in Iowa, perhaps the only
in
one.
In Iowa, I think we are the only one. Illinois, they have quite a few customers, but Iowa, okay. I think we're the only one at this time.
Stan Loverman, thank you very much. Senior Housing Inspector for the City of Iowa City. The new app that he manages is called iCGov Express. You can find out more about it at icgov.org. Thank you, Stan.
Thank you.
When we come back, more during our homegrown app update, we'll hear about a lot of new apps and talk to app makers when we come back. Maybe some apps for those long road trips you have planned this spring or summer. We'll be back in just a moment. What's your new app, the one that you've discovered? What makes it so appealing? Go to our Facebook page, name it, and tell us why in one line, or tweet us at IPR Talk. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's our homegrown app update show, High Tech Iowa show, spending the hour talking about mobile software applications, or apps as we like to call them, all those pieces of software we use on our iPhones, iPods, iPads, or all the Android devices that are out there. And we want to check in with a couple of other people before the hour ends, but also perhaps with you, if you've got a favorite new app to crow about, one that you've discovered and want to tell us what makes it so appealing, you can dial us 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. 1-866-780-9100, toll free. We're also on Facebook. You could post a little message there or tweet us at IPR Talk. And my next guest is Sarah Erdman. She is the marketing director at QA Graphics. QA Graphics is a company that started in 2006 in Ankeny, growing very quickly ever since, and provides creative services such as touchscreen applications, 3D design and animation, mobile apps, and other multimedia. About 300 apps, I understand, being developed by the company. Sarah Erdman, welcome to our program.
Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for having us.
Tell us a little bit more about the company. A wide spectrum of projects you do, isn't there?
Yeah, we really are involved in a lot of projects throughout the country. We started off doing technical graphics for the building automation industry, where we do HVAC graphics behind the scenes for the facility manager. With that, we've also developed ourselves to be a leader in the green building industry, providing our solution, the Energy Efficiency Education Dashboard, which is an interactive application that organizations use to educate building occupants and the public about why their building is green.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, getting in that realm of doing interactive applications, we've then morphed into a full-service firm where we also provide interactive applications for use on touchscreens and mobile devices. We also do a lot of 3D design and animation, videos, mobile-specific apps, and a lot of other multimedia solutions.
Tell me a little bit more about these energy, did you say energy dashboards? So, mm-hmm. so if I'm in a building, what does it look like? How is it going to be telling me how I can be more efficient about energy in this building?
Yep, so this is something that we custom develop for every type of client that we're working with, so it can be specific whether it's a hospital or a grocery store or a commercial building or a government building. So an example is we just did one for the new Urbandale Hy-Vee. So if you walk into the Hy-Vee, the customers can see a 42-inch touchscreen where there's an interactive application that we designed specifically for that Hy-Vee. So users can interact with the display and see a virtual tour and a 3D model of that store. So they can go in and poke around and see the outside of the store and the inside of the store. And on that, there's a lot of different green features that show why that store was built sustainable and how they achieved LEED certification.
Mm.
So, for example, outside the store, they can see, you know, where the LED parking lot lights are and how that's more efficient. And on the inside, they can see what, you know, where the refrigerator cases are that are more efficient and where the water efficient fixtures are.
Did you imagine that we'll all have these in our houses in X number of years to say, oh, my goodness, let's look at the energy dashboard and see how we can save 10 or 15 bucks a month because we need that for our summer vacation?
You know, it's definitely something we've seen take off on the commercial realm. I think for the applications that we do, it's a lot higher end graphic that we would not go into residential, but it's definitely heading that way.
Mm. Oh, interesting. So your clients in Iowa, you named Hy-Vee and Urbandale, all across the U.S., outside the U.S. as well?
Yeah, we've done a lot of projects here locally in Des Moines. Some more examples are the World Food Prize, the Des Moines Public Library, and most recently the Iowa Utilities Building.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also done a lot of projects across the country ranging from K-12 schools, universities, libraries, a lot of commercial buildings in campuses, and we've also done projects in Africa and in Canada.
Where do you see future growth in this area, really like cutting-edge things that you think we may not even have touched or touched little upon at this point in time, that in the future, what is QA Graphics betting on is going to be big?
You know what's really exciting is it's really up to the customer. We can show any type of information they want to do in any type of way. It's just to pitch the idea to us, and then it's really exciting for our design team to be able to get together and come up with a creative way to present it. And the way we develop things for use across platforms. So if they want an interactive application, they just need to come to us and describe, you know, how they want to use it, and we can best develop it. So if it can be used across, you know, if they want it on display in their lobby on a touchscreen or a kiosk, or if they want it to also be usable on PC, or if they want it as a mobile available as well on their phones and tablets.
Okay, Sarah Erdman, Marketing Director at QA Graphics in Ankeny. Thank you for sharing a little bit about your fast-growing company.
Yes, thank you.
This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, finishing up our app, homegrown app update show, a high-tech show. We like to check in on what's moving in Iowa, what's developing. You want to tune in tomorrow if you're interested in this program because, as you probably heard in the news, Facebook this week announced plans to build a $1.5 billion, yes, that's a $1 billion data center in the Iowa town of Altoona. On the same day this week, it was Tuesday, the announcement of Google with a $400 million expansion to its data facility in Council Bluffs. Tomorrow on this program, we'll take a look at Iowa's growing tech industry and ask the question, hopefully get it answered, what makes Iowa an attractive place for companies like Google and Facebook? Also, homegrown high-tech companies like Syncback we'll look into tomorrow. Today, it's more about apps. If you have a favorite app you've discovered, you'd like to describe it in a sentence or two, go to our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio, or tweet us at IPR Talk, or call us 1-866-780-9100. My final guest for today was on our previous app update show back in May. No, back last year in 2012, a year ago, I think. Denise Seche is an app developer here in Iowa, also a lecturer in computer science in the computer science department at the University of Iowa. She is in our Iowa City studio. Denise, welcome back.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Now, you have apps. You're constantly working on apps. You have about, 20 right now? Is that number right?
Yeah, 20 and growing.
20 and growing in various stages of growth. Let's talk about a few of them and then check in with maybe a call or two to find out what people are finding appealing in their apps. Traveling games, coming up on good traveling season. Killing time in the car, getting from place to place. What are you going to suggest?
Well, I'm a fan of the license plate game, and I've actually got two apps available. One is called Miles to Go, and that combines the license plate game with trivia about the states, the 50 states, and the provinces in Canada.
Okay, so what do I do? I'm driving along. I'm bored in the back seat. I'm 12 or 15 years old, whatever. And what do I do with it?
So you can look out the window and see license plates and then start ticking them off on your checklist and ideally try to find all 50 states and mm-hmm. all the provinces.
And then once you hit Tennessee, let's say, then you learn some interesting facts about Tennessee.
Yeah, so you can go to the quiz section and there are quizzes on the state capitals, largest cities in the states. And also the population demographics. Mm-hmm. So you get questions like, what's the largest state? And you have four choices. Or what's the smallest state? What has the largest per capita or population per unit area? Or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Other traveling games you can suggest?
So the other license plate game that I have lets you play multiple license plate games at the same time. And it also tracks where you found the state or where you found the license plate. So you can see it on a map, and you can sort of track your progress as you make your trip. And you can also take multiple pictures of license plates so you can see all the personalized plates. And also you can get a little information on the state capitals and that sort of thing.
1-866-780-9100 to share your favorite newly discovered app. Let's go to Nancy in Davenport. Nancy's dialing in. Nancy, what have you discovered in app land?
I love sleep. As Android, that has really helped my sleeping. You can track your sleeping, your rate of deep sleep, how much you're tossing and turning at night, if you're snoring. It's really helped me up my deep sleep level.
Okay, so I have it. You have it on an Android device or your iPhone.
What yeah.
do, what
yeah,
do you, I do. You're about ready to turn in at night? What do you do with it?
You set it up for an alarm. In the morning, and then you put in your desired amount of hours that you want to sleep, and then you have the device on, and then it's paused for 5 minutes, and then you get into bed, and you have it next to your head. And then in the telephones, I guess there's some sort of accelerometer that it uses with navigation and things like that, and so it uses that accelerometer to measure your tossing and turning.
Mm.
So it's your pillow.
It's listening to you.
Yes, it's listening to you, and when you move in the bed, it tracks your movements.
I say okay. And so when you get up in the morning, what do you have as data?
You have how many hours of deep sleep you got, the percentage, like out of 100% of deep sleep, your percentage of deep sleep, how many hours you slept, and if you have a sleep deficit. And then if you purchase the add-on, you can also get lullabies to go to sleep with, you know, like nature sounds.
Yeah.
And it will also give you detailed statistics that will tell you when pertaining to the percentage of deep sleep hours that you have. It will also tell you what time you should be going to bed and things like that.
Does it record snoring?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it sure does. And you turn on the noise and you can't believe Yeah.
You can't believe what your partner's been through.
Yeah, that's right, or what you've been through, you know, with this story. Yeah, it's really very interesting. I'm very happy with it.
And how exactly, before we say goodbye, Nancy, how exactly has it increased your sleep quality?
It's great because over the last month or so, I've been able to do things. You can put little hashtags on there like caffeine or whatever. I can tell if I've drank too much caffeine that my deep sleep goes down or whatever. So I can pretty much tell by putting a note next to it or using a little picture just what sort of things have prevented me from having a good night's sleep.
Oh, neat. That's a neat device. And you say in the Android market it's called what?
Sleep as Android.
Sleep as Android. Nancy from Davenport,
yes.
Thank you for dialing in. Good sleep to you.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
If you have a favorite new app you've discovered you'd like to tell us about, 1-866-780-9100. We're also on Facebook or tweet us at IPR Talk about that favorite app. Denise Seche is with us, an app developer, lecturer in computer science at the University of Iowa. Let's go back to you, some of the apps that you're developing or have developed. You've got a bunch of apps that are in what we'll call the scavenger category. What do they do? Tell us about those.
So basically you can create scavenger hunts based on people, places, or things. So Paparazzi is a game where you have to find specific people. Take pictures of them, get their autograph, and the more invasive you are, the more points you score.
What kind of people?
So it could be stars at a convention. It could be kids at school. It could be people at an orientation, a new employee orientation or something, where basically by having to figure out who the people are, given clues, you learn information about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the places scavenger hunt, where that's based on GPS location of certain objects, landmarks, and then things, which would be artifacts. That's a standard. You have a list of objects that you have to find and take a picture of as part of a game.
Mm. And these are Paparazzi. The second is called Expedition. The other one's Artifacts. They out in the market right now?
So Paparazzi is Artifacts is not out yet, and Expedition is out as Scavenger Hunt Deluxe, and that's about to be revised.
Mm-hmm. Tell me how you got the ideas for these apps. How does an app idea begin its life?
Well,
with you.
So for me, a lot of times it comes out of a conversation with my son. We were thinking about going to Comic-Con one year, and
Tell us what Comic-Con is.
So Comic-Con is a convention conference dealing with the entertainment industry. It's annually held during the summer in San Diego. And we were in the middle of making a scavenger hunt based on location app. And when we thought about going to Comic-Con, we thought, wouldn't it be fun to have a scavenger hunt based on people where, you know, Bear McCreary is going to be at Comic-Con, go find him, take a picture of him, go ask him for his autograph,
yeah.
Be invasive. And wouldn't it be fun to have a bunch of stars that you want to go target in this huge 30,000 people crowd? So that's how Paparazzi came about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were talking with your son, you're talking with other people, and you develop, I think, after a while, you've created or are creating 20-some apps. You develop sort of antenna when people say things in a cafe or at a family gathering. They might say something, and then that triggers an idea because there's a need there or what?
Right. Yeah, basically out of conversation. There's one app that I started making called Citizen Eyes, and that was actually a way for people to report crime. And when I told my family about it, it was right near Thanksgiving, and my family was like, we hear so much about the negativity of things. What about the positive things that happen in your life? And so I brainstormed with them over the Thanksgiving holiday and then came out with Angels Among Us.
This is the app called Angels Among Us. Is it out there for people to purchase?
Yes, it's out on iPhone, and we're working on the Windows platform for it.
What do you do with it?
So basically, if you see a good deed, you can press a button that says that describes that deed, and it gets reported to my server. And then you can look on a map and see what other good deeds other people have reported in your general area.
Mm-hmm.
And my ideal would be to have everyone want to light their city on, you know, to have it be bright so that you report so many good deeds that your city shines among the rest.
Well, you could also, I mean, sometimes, of course, police reports have maps often in local newspapers or on websites, and you can see where there are some areas with heavy police activity that might be a problem area of town. But this is an area that lights up And you can say you want to go to where all those points of reports are from, right?
Exactly. You want to be proud of, you know, look at Iowa City. Look at how bright it is on the map. And then Cedar Rapids could say, well, we're good. And so they can start looking for those good deeds and report them as well and have a contest or a competition for who can shine.
How do you know that your app hasn't already been created out there? Is there like making a song that your melody hasn't been sung somewhere else or copyrighted somewhere else?
I search around or, you know, try to pay attention to the apps that are out there. But most of my ideas are fairly obscure. Like Angels Among Us, I don't think has been replicated, or I don't think it existed before then. So,
okay. You have an app, or you're creating an app that's similar to the iCGov app that we talked about a little bit earlier. It's a service outage surveillance. Describe what that does.
So basically with that app, I'm interested in providing information to the general community. And so with that app, if you have a service outage, whether it's your cable, your power, if you have problems with your sidewalks, your roads, you can report that on the app, and those events show up on a map that other people can then see. So instead of just reporting your complaint or your problem to the city and having it fixed or dealt with, you're actually reporting it to everybody else to say, look at my conditions, look at this environment. Mm. And so you're putting more pressure on, say, Mediacom if you have constant cable outage. And so if you have to...
Yeah, so when somebody gives you a line on the phone, you know, that it's only you who keep complaining, you say, no, actually, I can see that 20 of my neighbors have a problem too.
Exactly. So by sharing that information among the community, you are empowering the consumers.
Mm. It's interesting. Also, I can see it being used, for instance, your power goes out in your home, and there's always then that typical thing where people walk out their front doors. Is it only my house? Is it only my block? Is it my whole neighborhood? Is it the whole city? And this way, within minutes, you assume that you would find out on a map how many people have the power outage.
Exactly. And I also made it so that it's a push of a button, so you don't have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what phone number to call or how to report it. You press a button that says my power's out, and based on the GPS that's collected behind the scenes, that information is conveyed with your report.
Many people have privacy concerns when it comes to software, also with mobile applications. Many of the apps we've discussed today require permissions. Camera control, sharing photos, feature of an app perhaps. Are there any restrictions for app developers when it comes to the ability to control mobile devices, cameras, for instance?
Not that I'm aware of. There's a button or there's an action built within the device that says the camera can be activated. So, mm-hmm.
And when you install that, it usually has sort of a list of things that you allow that app to change or do with your device, doesn't it?
Well, it can. Basically, you can reveal that your app needs GPS location information or things like that. So you just inform the user. For some of my apps, I try not to collect anybody's data to respect everybody's privacy. But if I do collect data, I do let them know in advance and set that as a set in the settings where they have to actively say yes. I want to provide that information to you.
So you have this idea. You've had many great ideas. You've described a few of them here today. What is then the hardest part of the process after the idea for you? The most challenging part? What is the nuts and bolts of making an app? I can't picture it. What are you doing?
Finding the time is actually the hardest part because I've got so many – I'm juggling so many things that when I get a new idea, I want to start writing that that app, but then I have to finish the ones that are already, you know, in progress. So it's just finding the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself going to your son or maybe neighbors or friends when you just can't make a decision, should the app do this or be constructed this way? Do you bouncing ideas off people?
Oh, absolutely. I talk to my students about that as well. I'll show them a prototype when I from start to finish. I'll say, this is my idea. This is what it looks like. Here's the functionality. And they'll throw out ideas. And then towards the end of the semester, I like to show them the finished product so they can see software development actually in action, the real stuff.
Last time you were on, I had the exact number of how many apps are being built per year, how many are available in the App Store. I don't know if you have any idea of how that's grown, but it's growing incredibly.
Yes.
And the number of app makers are growing too. That must be constantly increasing competition for you.
Absolutely, and it is hard to get your apps discovered. And there are companies that they charge app developers money to try to promote their apps. And I try to avoid that. I just figure if it's word of mouth, and I develop apps for the love of the game. Mm-hmm. So it's an app that I have an idea for. I want it. So I really develop for myself, and then hope that other people want to download it.
Okay, we hope to check back in with you later after you've developed more apps. Denise Seche is an app developer here in Iowa, lecturer in computer science at the University of Iowa. Denise, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
You want to join us again tomorrow, especially if you're interested in today's conversation, because we're going to have a tech show tomorrow. This week, as you probably heard, Facebook announced plans to build a $1.5 billion data center in Altoona. That same day, Google with an announcement, $400 million expansion to its data facility in Council Bluffs. Tomorrow, we'll look at Iowa's growing tech industry and answer the question, what makes Iowa an attractive place for companies like Google and Facebook? How many jobs will this create? Also, what about homegrown high-tech companies like Syncback? That's tomorrow on this program. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Oh, there's that darn dog again. Technical support from Dennis Reese. The executive producer of our show is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.